Hi, this is Danielle from The Jealous Curator, and this is episode 76 of Art for Your Ear. This episode is supported by Saatchi Art, the world's largest curated online gallery offering original art by independent artists from around the world. Visit them at saatchiart.com. I am madly in love with everything this artist does, and she does a lot. American artist Kristin Martinsek, I hope I said that right, I think I did, makes bathing suits from paper, builds small ceramic pools, creates gorgeous prints of cool blue pools. Do you see a theme developing here? Yeah. Anyway, I wrote about her years ago and, of course, wanted to have her on the podcast to find out how she does what she does. And then I discovered that she just had a baby a few months ago. So I was pretty sure she was going to say, "No way, lady, I'd rather sleep than do your podcast. Thank you very much." But luckily, she said yes. So let's find out how on earth you make a life vest out of paper. Calling Kristin. Hi, Kristin.
Hi, Danielle. How are you?
Good. I am so glad that we could do this.
I'm
not glad.
Yeah, I kind of feel like I can't even tell you how lovely it is to be asked to be on your podcast.
Oh,
very honored.
Well, your work is so good. I mean, sounds came out of me when I first saw your work. I think I found the pools first, and then the bathing suits, the paper bathing suits, and I was just like, yeah. Oh my god. Anyway, and that was a while ago too, but I am so excited that I actually get to talk to you and find out where all of that genius comes from and all your different materials. And then I didn't realize until we were trying to plan this, you have a new baby.
I do. Yeah.
How old?
Name's Nico, and he's 8 months old.
Oh my goodness. You're in it.
Yeah. So, kind of going through that first year cruel parenting sleep deprivation experiment.
Yes. Nobody can prepare you for that. People can tell you no sleep. You don't understand what that means.
It's like this prolonged series of 1 to 2 hours sleep does not make.
I know. And then I nursed my son, and so I couldn't figure out the timing. And if I ever drank caffeine, which I desperately needed, he would go cuckoo and stay awake for ages. So I was drinking decaf in the time in my life when I've never needed caffeine more.
Yeah, which doesn't really work.
No, so it's like the cruel joke just continues. But anyway,
yeah.
Now he's 10 and I have to wake him up in the morning.
Wow.
I know. I said to my husband, I better not tell you. Didn't sleep through the night for quite some time. And I said to my husband when he was little, I said, "When this kid is a teenager and he's sleeping till noon, fine by me. Like, I will have gone for a run into the market and he can sleep all he wants because, you know, years of not sleeping. Yeah, it's like, I don't care. I don't have to be home. I'm out. But I feel your pain. So we are going to get back to that because I want to know how that's affecting your art making, but we'll come back to that. So let's start at the beginning when you were a baby. when you were little, I mean, your portfolio is filled with, like, you're not just a painter, like everything is in your portfolio. So when you were little, were you just constantly making stuff with all sorts of things?
Oh no.
Really?
No. I'm number four of five kids.
Okay.
And I have an older sister and she was the artist in the family.
Ah.
Like she drew, she loved to draw. Like she'd go out every day and she'd do observational drawing. And I thought that's what you had to love to draw and you had to do it all the time. Like that's sort of what I thought it meant to be an artist.
Right.
And so I just was trying to and the rest of my family is like, my dad was an engineer, my other brother's an engineer, my other brother's a computer engineer, I'm probably even screwed that up. My mom's a math teacher. My oldest brother's on law enforcement. So like my sister and I are like on the opposite end of what the rest of my family does. So I guess if you go back, I liked coloring. You know, you get those coloring contests, and I really liked coloring.
Yep.
And I feel like I made this connection recently where I was like, oh yeah, I liked coloring, and that makes total sense with what I do now. I love color.
Yeah, you do. I love your color. Did you feel a little lost in there? Like if she was the artist and you didn't want to do observational drawing every single day, and then everybody else were mathematicians and engineers and heading in that direction, were you like, I don't know?
Yeah, I mean, I had like every year I came up with a different thing I thought I might be. Oh, I'll be an architect. Oh, next year it was like, my brother was trying to, I looked up to him and I thought, oh, maybe I'll be a biomedical engineer. I have no idea what that is.
Sounds fancy.
Like different. Yeah, yeah. I was good at math at the time. Anyways, so... And I went to school and I just picked a school more because of like the fact that it was in state. It was far enough away, but not too far away to get picked up if I needed to get picked up. And then it had a study abroad program to go to Spain. That's why I picked the school. And I didn't really have any other notion. Like I came into school and I was like, well, I guess I came here to study abroad program. Why don't I be a Spanish major?
So that you're ready when it's time to go abroad.
Yes.
Yeah. I see the theme here.
Points for doing it. You know, I might as well get some credit for going over there. And then when I was there, I just saw so much amazing artwork. I just went to museum after museum and we visit all these cathedrals and all this amazing architecture. And I came back from that year and I just thought, I don't want to just look at art. I think I want to do it. And so I started taking some studio art classes and I just was like,
done.
This is it.
Yep. What year was that for you?
So that would have been my junior year.
Oh, okay. And then, so what did you focus on? Were you kind of doing a little bit of everything or were you...
Yeah, I like taking any class, anything that didn't involve a computer.
Did you do ceramics there?
Yeah. Ceramics, and I took sculpture. I took fibers. I liked all of it. I liked photo. But there was something about printmaking and ceramics, those two areas that really, like, I think I really... I like the community part of it.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of like, you'd go there and there was always people working in those studios. And then there was also something about the labor involved in both of those studios that I think I responded to. The fact that it was like delayed, like you couldn't get to the piece. You had to go through all these steps. It was like, you had to make the clay, then you'd have to build it, then you'd have to fire it, then you'd have to glaze it, and then you'd have to fire it again. Then you get the piece and then you get to decide whether or not like how you feel about it in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with print. It's like make the plate, redo the plate, print the plate, redo the plate.
I can't believe you like that. I hated that.
Yeah. Most people don't like it, but there's something about that I just, you know, it worked for me.
Yeah. That's really cool. And that's kind of cool at that age to know that about yourself, you know, like to realize, like to gravitate to that and enjoy it.
I don't know if I knew that intellectually. I just like, I think I just did it.
Right. And it didn't bother you.
Yeah.
I really loved, we didn't have ceramics at my school, which is too bad. I would have loved to try it, but I was a printmaking minor. I loved it. And it's exactly right what you're saying about the community. And I've heard so many people say that about ceramics and printmaking because you don't have the kiln and the presses at home. So you have to be... You know, it's midnight and you have to be at the school.
Yep.
And, you know, we're painting, drawing, whatever, you can take that home. But there's something really, like it was always the same people hanging out in there. The other thing I loved about being a printmaking student was ink under my nails.
Oh, you like that?
I like
it. I like the smell.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Me too. But I just, it was like a badge of honor to me in a way, like, because none of my friends were in art. And so we'd, you know, go to the pub or whatever. And they're like, oh, my God, wash your hands. And I like, I did like 12,000 times. But it's like, you know, in, under your nails and in your cuticles. And I just kind of made me feel cool. Like, oh, I'm an art student. I can't get rid of the ink. I really like that. Anyway, this is an interview about you, not me and my cuticles. Okay, so you find all of that, you're doing everything, you graduate, then what happens?
I think I got an internship, and I did that. That was about 5 months.
Wow, that and sounds then,
cool. It's like a, you know, get to work and just really work and like it wasn't a glamorous
did you like it or was
internship
it
when I was there
ah
you know it was a really hard time for me. Yeah. There are various reasons why it was hard, but
this wasn't what you thought it was going to be.
Okay. Oh no, but
moving on then.
Sorry.
No, I just like I don't want to make you open any deep dark old wounds or anything. And so was your plan to be a full-time artist when you graduated, or what did you think you'd do?
I thought, I just need to figure out how I can keep making work. I didn't really think about like, how am I going to make money? I just thought, how do I, you know, pay for an apartment, have a part-time job and then keep making work. Mm-hmm. So that was part of like, oh, the internship. It's like, oh, I get studio space. So I was like, great, I'm going to go. And then, or I get use of the equipment. And then when I got done with that, I moved back to where I went to undergrad and I worked for one of my professors as his studio assistant. And I got to use, I got access to studio through that. And then I went to Kentucky. I went to Richmond, Kentucky and worked in this position that was like a, kind of an unofficial tech / visiting artist where I got a studio space and I helped fire kilns and load kilns and then I worked a coffee shop job part time.
I kind of love that. It's all about the studio space.
Then I was like, where can I get free studio space? I will go to it. Cause I'm not making any money, so it needs to be free.
Yeah.
And then I applied for graduate school and I just really had thought this is going to be a trial run because I'd seen a lot of people like apply and get rejected. And I just thought this is a trial run. I'm not getting in anywhere. And I happened to get into a few places and then I picked University of Nebraska and Lincoln.
Mm. And so what was your work that you submitted for that? What were you doing at that time?
I put printmaking and ceramics and some quasi installation. It was very eclectic.
Was it anything like what you're doing now?
Kind of this abstract hidden human form.
Wow.
Kind of work. Yeah. I'm not sure if I'm describing that quite right.
Well, the abstract part is interesting because now your work certainly isn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So how was your master's?
That was great.
Studio. You got a studio space.
Yep. Got a studio space. Yep. What did I get? It's that totally blanking on the word. I got an assistantship, you know? So it was, there was some monetary motivation for, I wasn't going to accept a school unless if or had, you know, good funding because again, I just know very few people can like leave school and get a job and make money and then pay off that enormous amount of debt.
Mm-hmm. Good for you. Was this advice from all of your siblings?
Not really like direct advice, but I just saw I was actually the only one in my family who took out loans. Everyone else before me didn't take out loans.
What'd they do?
My brother stayed at home. Okay. My sister, I don't know. She got scholarships and stuff.
It's brutal. It's so hard. Like it just, it really, yeah, you really have to think all of that through because you come out on the other end, especially if you do something like a master's, like if you go on and do more school, you're looking at a lot when you get out.
Yeah.
And so when did you, did the water stuff, right? And did any of that come up during your master's?
Nope.
So what did you play around with in there?
That I realized, so I came in, I kind of was doing this really interested in pattern and I was doing abstract kind of stuff and really loosely kind of referencing figurative parts. But I realized pretty early on that I couldn't, that didn't really hold me. Like I liked doing it, but I couldn't back it up. I couldn't really defend it. I couldn't really stand behind it.
Mm.
And so it pushed me to like, okay, if I'm interested in the figure, I need to try and work with the figure. And, you know, I worked with it, but I would select portions. I would work with the feet or I'd work with like the hands or I'd like truncate a portion of the body and like isolate it. And
did that get you where you were going? Like did that feel? Yeah.
And I did that for a while. That was a handful of years of doing things that would be, I kind of got into working with garments. And making garments out of printed paper and talking about the figure through the absence of the figure. And it wasn't until, I think it's like 2007, a couple years after grad school, after I finished, that I had a collaborative show with a friend, or it was a two-person show with a friend, and we just decided we wanted to do something that was, we wanted to collaborate in some way, and we were, I think I was in Ohio at the time, she was in North Carolina, and we met in Chicago, we were on the lake, and we're both talking, and we realized, okay, I'm thinking about swimming, and I'm thinking about water, and she's like, I'm thinking about those things too. And we're like, all right, that's it. That's what we'll do something. And so she made these ceramic kind of tank vessels that were really about kind of containment of water. And I, that's when the paper bathing suits started.
Ah, I love the paper bathing suits. And so you guys hung those together.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, but that was like, that was the springboard for water for me, was that, you know, those discussions and having that show to work towards.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and was she, well, I mean, I guess you'd been doing garments already, but when you started doing those, was it sort of like, oh, here we go? Like, did you feel super excited about it or was it just sort of a progression?
I was like, what am I doing? Like, how do I hang these? What, you know, like,
how do you hang those?
I use like, I place nails in like, you know, 6 to 8 spots that correspond to the suit kind of up at the, up at the top and in the armpits and kind of by the hips. And then, these mini magnets will just kind of, I'll pop those into the interior part of the suit. So they just float off the wall.
Oh, clever. That's really smart. Okay. Well, so you've done those and then, so did your, like the pools and the shower and all of that stuff, did that come after then?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
So I had a show, maybe it was a year after that, that was a space and they said, do whatever you want. But I've seen your, installation work and I'd be really interested in you doing something that's installation based. And I was like, great. And so I ended up making this piece called Night Swimming. That's like 16 foot by 16 foot by 8 foot tall, translucent blue nylon space that I sewed that like it's kind of like a pool hovering above the, you know, above the ground. Ooh. And then half the space was a locker room and half the space was the pool. And you walk into the locker room and then you'd go around the corner and then you could enter into the pool. And it was lit from above, and like the lights filtered through the nylon, the blue nylon. And like, it was very much about this experiential, trying to channel this like experience for me of what night swimming feels like.
Mm-hmm. And did
so
you...
that was like the start of pools, was that installation.
And what did you think? Were you happy with it?
Again, it's like, I don't process things quickly. So I did it. It was like this crazy mad dash to get it done. I worked with someone, like I'd drawn out these patterns. I think it was my first year of having a full-time teaching job. Mm. And I handed over, I'd draw these patterns and I came up with these measurements and I'd hand it over to this woman who was a brilliant seamstress. And I was like, okay, sew this. And she ended up being stuck. A big snowstorm came and she was out in the country, and she ended up being stuck out in the country with my piece and sewing it. And so I talked to her on the phone and I was like, okay, I get on the plane to install this piece tomorrow. Can you make it to, can you make it into town to deliver this to me? Or can I meet you like at the top of the road and I'll walk down this road that's too icy for you to drive? You know, like it was
crazy.
Oh
my word.
So this is like, I'm sorry, long story.
No, I like it.
I get the piece. I'm like, okay, the most important thing right now, I have it. Okay. I checked. I was like, okay, there's an entry for me to get in and out. There's four walls. There's a doorway. Okay. And then I was like, will it fit into my suitcase? Yes, it fits into my suitcase. Okay. I like fly, get to this space. I install it. I had to make some adjustments. You know, it all worked out, but it was like so frantic. So the idea of like, did I like what I did really came from way after the fact. I got someone I knew in the area photographed it and documented it for me really well. And I feel like that's sort of how I'm experiencing it almost, is like going back and looking at those pictures. Yeah. And like this memory of that space and then hearing feedback about it more than, 'cause I really got to see it up for a few hours.
Yeah. When you're probably sweating and, you know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's all nervous. Yeah.
That's crazy.
I'm the 11th hour kind of artist.
Are you?
Yeah, I really need a deadline and I'm just going to keep pushing it to the end. Not a good way to do it.
No, and now you've got a baby to blame, so you can just blame him. It was the baby. Baby. I was ready weeks ago, but the baby. And so have you done installation since then?
Let's see. No, I had, and I was going to do something, and then timing wise, I didn't end up. So I have all these components for a new installation.
You just wait for a space.
I keep wondering if I'm still interested in those components and if I still want to do that installation, but. Mm.
Don't get rid of them yet.
Oh, I'm not.
Yeah. Well, you have so many, like, that's the thing. I was going through your site and I was like, there's just so much stuff. So, you know, like the sewing and the paper and printmaking and ceramics. So do you have a favorite or do you just love the combination of everything?
I like being able to like transition from one to the other.
Hmm.
I like all of them. And I think probably all of them have frustration points for me. And
then you can jump back.
Yeah, it's like one feeds the other. Like I like working two-dimensionally. I like working three-dimensionally. I like thinking about an environment. You know, like each thing I do, I feel like it feeds the next thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they're all so united too. It's not like the ceramic pieces are a total disconnect from the paper pieces. You know, like it's it's all very much one family. And yeah, I've heard so many people say that where, you know, but it's often like they'll have a bunch of paintings going on at one time at different stages so that they can sort of jump around. But it's amazing the different things that you have going on that you can jump around to, you know, to
It's years, you know, it's like years of jumping.
Yeah.
I will I'll have a show or something, some kind of deadline. It requires me to focus in and be like, okay, I need to get the X number of bathing suits done for this.
Right.
And then I do that. And then I'm like, okay, I'm done with the bathing suits for a little while. But in that meantime, I'll have come up with I think 3 other series of bathing suits that I totally want to do. I just have to I have to find the right place, the right situation for those to go to.
Yeah.
And then when I do, I'll be like, I'll jump in and I'm going to get going on those bathing suits.
Are they folded or sewn?
They are sewn on there's like a front and back, and I'll sew them inside, turn them. I'll mist them with water so that the fibers in the paper that I'm using will soften up, and then I can kind of flip it like a shirt.
Wow. Okay, here's a question. Do you ever get almost done a bathing suit and then it's paper? Does it tear when
Yes.
Do you want to pull your hair out, or are you just so used to it now that it's all right, that's fine? Zen?
You
can tell me the truth.
I feel like it's more like the last time I tore something, it was not because I tore it from turning it inside out. Cause usually if I do a little tear like that, I know right away, I can feel it in my hands before I even see it.
Yeah.
So I stop, and I usually can repair something like that. But I was reaching for something on a shelf and I grabbed the cling wrap in the, it fell down and the teeth from the cling wrap landed on my, work in progress bathing suit and just gouged it. And I was like,
ah! Oh, is there a recovery from that or no?
No, it's still just mocking me in my studio. I'm torn right here.
But see there now, that's when you get super conceptual and make something up about.
Oh, I think I actually cut that one up and it was like, all right, that's turn that into some other thing. Oh,
well, that's good. That's actually a better solution than making stuff up and getting conceptual. and so, okay, let's, speaking of sewn paper, those life vests.
Uh-huh.
Oh my God, I love them so much. I'm really just saying it so I can put them in the post. I don't even know how. First of all, how'd you get that idea? And what are they? They're stuffed with something, or are they puffed up?
Yeah. No, they're stuffed. They're stuffed with polyfill, just like what you'd stick in a pillow.
Wow. But what paper are you using? Is it Japanese paper? What's going on over there?
Oh. Yeah, it's like those, I'll use the various ones. So Kitakata or Mulberry, those are kind of these standard papers that I'll buy on a roll that when I buy it in that kind of quantity, I don't really think about this is how much the roll costs. That's one of the things I learned.
Right.
Have enough paper around that you don't ever think about the fact that piece of paper costs, or that roll cost $150. I just have a lot of paper around.
Yeah. What, you cut out right when you said the price. How much? Maybe the internet was like, oh, okay, that's just too much money for paper. We got to blip that out.
It can be $18 a sheet of paper, and that's not even, it could be more expensive. I'm not getting the super, super expensive stuff. But
oh my God. And then you drop saran wrap on it and that's that. Oh my goodness. Yeah, that's a good idea. Have lots of paper. Don't think about it.
Yeah. Don't think about the price.
No, that's very good advice. Well, I saw on your site that you work with Kitakata, and I was like, oh, Kit Kat. Mm-hmm. And then I wanted chocolate. I was like, I don't think it's actually Kit Kat. You know, I'm pretty sure it's Japanese paper. I've worked with Japanese paper before and I love, love, love it. And it's got that, it's very fibrous, is it, I don't know, is it like pulped and then pressed down or something? Like it's got a much different texture to it.
Yeah. So it's, you know, like Eastern paper versus Western paper. Eastern paper, the way that it's processed, you're using like this inner part of the bark and you're leaving the fibers long and you're mashing the fibers or beating the fibers versus Western paper. The pulp is, it's all cut up and it's a different part of, it's like a, it's from a different plant and it's like the, I think it's the core of like a, it's like, or it's cotton, you know, like this is bad. I know a lot more about Eastern paper than I do about Western paper.
But, well, yeah, it works for you. Yeah. Cause you can see the fibers in that paper in the Japanese.
It depends on the kind of paper you're buying. So if okay. you're, what I've gotten into is really liking this lovely handmade Japanese paper that I'll get from this place called the Japanese Paper Place in Toronto.
And I know that.
Oh, yeah.
You go there for that? I almost said it, but I'm like, oh, she's not in Canada.
Well, I save up, and then once a year I go to the printmaking conference, Southern Graphics Conference. And then they show up with a whole bunch of papers, and then I just buy a ton every year.
Yeah. That was right around the corner from the ad agency where I worked. So I'd go over there at lunchtime. Oh. My God, I could just stand there.
So those papers are like, there are these master paper makers that have, you know, this history of their family has been making paper for hundreds of years. And they're making papers that don't have, like, I'm not really into the ones that are fibery. I like them more. I like a sheen, or I like a uniform surface. I'll pick them for like the color.
That is an excellent segue, because I wanted to ask you about the color. So like on the suits, the ones that are like yellow or bluish, is that the color of the paper that you're working with, or do you dye it yourself or paint it or something?
That's the color of the paper.
Okay. So you buy, so you'll have like a library of colors that you use.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I could never figure that out, because I had never seen paper like that before. So I was trying to figure out if you, had stained it some way or, okay.
Ugh. I'll pick that. I'll get that color, and then I try and preserve that paper as it is in a way. And then like the part that gets printed on is like, works with the paper rather than like against it.
Yeah. Cause then you'll print like patterns on and things.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's printmaking.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness. What kind of printmaking is that?
Most of the time it's just relief.
Oh, okay.
Like, lately it's just like, or it'll be like, I'll roll. I really like to roll ink onto wood, different kinds of wood, and get that wood grain and do like a blend roll or something. I like that kind of soft transition, and then print that on. And then the linear stuff will be done through like an indirect drawing that's called trace monotype, where I draw on the back of the paper and I get ink to transfer onto the front through the pressure of the pencil.
Wow. So clearly you're still enjoying things that take a really long time.
Yeah, it's a amount of time. Yep.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. It would be so fun. Well, no, it might be kind of boring to watch you work, but
Yeah, it is.
It takes all. See, I'm so afraid of, like, I have now realized that I need to work quickly, because the longer I have to wreck something, the more I get in my head about it, you know, and the more precious it becomes to me, and the more freaked out and the more paralyzed I become. And that was my problem for years. So now I'm like, quick, you know, done, next. And so I totally admire you. And like, that's why I say I'd love to watch, but at the same time, I'd be like, are you done yet? What about now? And then you'd kick me out of your studio. So that we'd be a bad match.
We just have to do the timing right. I'd have to get all this stuff set up, and I'd have everything ready, and then I'd the ink would be on the board. I'd be like, okay, Come in. And I'd lay the paper down and I'd run it through the press and I'd pull it up and it'd be like, voila. And it would be great. But you wouldn't have had to watch anything else.
Okay. I think that would be satisfying. I think,
yeah,
I'd feel good about that. Okay. Phew. I'm glad we worked that out. Okay. So, well, considering these things take so much time, let's talk about how much time you have right now. So 8 months old. Are you making anything? Or have you decided to take a little chunk of time? Or what's going on over there?
I am taking time. I had a little, you know, you get a lot of advice.
You
when
sure
you're
do.
Pregnant.
Yeah. You sure
and
do.
I think even when I was pregnant, I didn't like being pregnant. I did not feel good when I was pregnant. And it really, already from that time, my studio practice slowed down considerably. Mm. So I was kind of told, take a year. So I've postponed some things, but my husband and I had a show together, like when did it go up? In September, it was in Atlanta. And we did some work, I guess, right before I gave birth, we did some collaborative work and then, and showed that at a space
mm-hmm.
and then sold some things from that. And then we made some things again so that we could show again together.
Mm.
And that was good. You know, it was like this good deadline. We went to Minneapolis for a couple months. He had a residency at the Northern Clay Center and they were super generous and let me be around there and make a little. And so I'd
wear
the baby.
Yeah. He was born already.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
And I would, probably what would normally take me half an hour, 45 minutes took like 4 hours.
Mm-hmm. And were you okay with that or were you frustrated?
Oh, both.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, you'd want it to go faster, but then it's like, this is how fast it's going.
Right. Yeah. This you kind of have, yeah. Good. Yeah. And are you feeling like, cause I did the same thing. I took a big chunk of time off and then it wasn't really, I mean, I was so wrapped up in being a new mom and all that stuff. I mean, it's different too, because in Canada, at the time I was working at an ad agency and I had a year mat leave. So
that's so amazing.
Isn't that great? Everybody should have that. So, I didn't even put the pressure on myself to worry about what was going to happen until he turned one, you know? And then when he was one, I decided not to go back to advertising and to stay home with him. So then I was like, I don't know why I couldn't have just kept enjoying it, but I was also like, well, now what? And that's when I started getting like really like an itch to make something again. I hadn't in years. And so are you feeling like that? Ooh, I just want to be in the studio. Or are you like, oh, I just want to have a nap or both?
Both.
Have a nap mostly, in your studio.
Yeah. Mostly it's a nap. Cause I think I'm more tired. And once I'm not so tired, I can be more interested in the studio. But we also bought a house and moved out of an apartment at the end of May, moved to Minneapolis temporarily for 2 months, then lived in a friend's house for a couple weeks. Like we did all the things you're not supposed to do when you have a newborn. Like we were pretty nomadic. And then we finally signed on a house and like a couple weeks ago.
Oh.
And so it's just been a lot of transition. And
are you moved in there now?
Yeah, we're in.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So now you can try and settle down a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Well, I didn't do any of that, but I did get a puppy 2 weeks before my son was born.
Oh, that's a lot of work.
Yep. I didn't think babies would be so hard. I was like, oh.
You wanted a distraction from taking care of the newborn.
Yeah. I was like, you know, I said, there's going to be pee and poop anyway. What's a little more? No big deal. And then I was just like, what have I done? But you know, so you're getting settled now. And then, yeah. So are you starting to think about making work again? Are you excited? Are you just sort of, you're just going to get settled and then figure it out later.
I have some stuff that is these pieces that are like where all I have to do is punch out like translucent blue ovals or circles. And then I will, it's like this kind of like busy work. Mm-hmm. And then I can stick those down onto translucent blue paper to make these kind of assembled collage kind of pieces.
Is that what you're holding up on your homepage?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love how much of a baby brain you have right now.
I'm sorry.
That's so funny. I completely remember it and just being like, I knew the answer to that when you asked me, and now I don't remember what the question was.
I'm so sorry.
That's so funny. And people told me about that.
I tried not to have this happen. I really was looking at things so that this could be a lot worse. This interview could have gone a lot worse. I actually tried to put words into my head before this.
I'm just happy you said yes, because when I heard you had a baby, I was like, ooh, I bet she'll say no. And it's just so cute because I completely remember it. And people had told me about baby brain, and I thought it was some dumb myth. And when I was about 6 months pregnant, I was a creative director at an ad agency, and I was in a meeting on a big con call. And there was like 10 people in our office and then 10 people in Montreal. And I was talking. I was the one presenting something. And then I was in the middle of a sentence and my head went completely blank. And I just looked around the room and I was like, what were we talking about? And everyone just burst out laughing. And I was like, oh my God, baby brain is real. I didn't believe it, but now I believe it. So I just think it's so cute that you're like, yes, that's on my homepage. Well, you're doing very, very, very well. But yeah, busy work is a great thing to do because I suggest that to, you know, new moms who are, not full-time working artists, but people that like miss being creative and that, you know, they want to have 5 hours, to make stuff. And it's like, well, that's not really possible right now. But time you do a little bit of something, like even if you, this is what I've suggested is like, if you have half an hour to yourself, even just have a sketchbook where you're not even necessarily drawing, but just like writing down ideas. And then when the baby does start sleeping more or gets a little bit older, all of us, you're not starting from scratch. You're starting from this notebook filled with ideas, or you've got your busy work done. And so you've got all these little circles ready to go. And I think at least then it makes you still feel like you're tapped into being a creative person.
Yeah. I think that is really important.
Yeah.
And even just 5 minutes of circle punching is like an accomplishment. And it's like, I did something. This is awesome.
Yeah. I'm still kind of me.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's see how your brain does with the not so speedy speed round.
Okay.
Okay. I don't know if you're going to be able to answer this. Favorite paper or clay?
Huh. Well,
what's your gut saying?
See, I'm like blanking. Eastern papers, but like I like this Inshu Mitsumata that the Japanese paper place makes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You'll pick that over clay?
Oh, do I like one over the other?
Yeah.
Probably paper right now.
Okay. And that might change if I ask you another day, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Favorite sweet treat?
Oh, like all of it right now. It's ridiculous. All of it. I want all of it all the time.
Chocolatey stuff?
Chocolate. Yeah.
Whatever. Whatever keeps you awake, probably.
Cheesecake.
Mm-hmm.
Any of it.
Yeah.
Cookies.
Oh my God. We used to wait till Charlie went to bed and then eat like Haagen-Dazs with like crumbled up cookie on top and chocolate syrup and whipped cream.
Sounds great.
I was like, why can't I lose this baby weight? It doesn't make any sense. Okay. Oh, okay. How old were you, if you can remember this, the first time you jumped off a diving board?
Oh, I don't know. I think I was actually like dropped off or pushed off by a family member.
Do you like swimming?
Yeah.
Are you a swimmer?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I grew up swimming. But I like swimming in warm water. I'm not really a fan of swimming in cold water. So
is anybody?
You know, some people tolerate it better. Like I've gotten to the point where like I really just want to be in the warm water, so it's a lot harder for me to go and swim laps.
Right. Yes, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I would rather just float around in Maui.
Yeah, like I'd like to go to the Caribbean and be in that lovely water.
Yeah, that would be beautiful. Good. While eating like a chocolate eclair or something.
A whole bunch of cookies.
Yeah. Oh my God, we're just like painting the perfect scenario here. Okay, and then final question. Well, oh man, we kind of touched on that. Now, here we go. Would you rather live in a cabin in the woods or on a tropical island?
Oh, tropical island.
Yeah, I think we just accidentally got there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's it. Yep. That's all I have for you.
Great. Well, thank you.
That was so fun. And I really, I mean, every time I purposely mention certain things, like even the diving board, because I'm like, oh, good, now I can put our diving board stuff in. So I'm going to do a great big post that has everything that we talked about all in one spot so people can come and see all of the amazing things that you do. And good luck in the next few months. I hope you start sleeping more. And I will be keeping an eye on your website to see new work being updated when you're ready.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for asking me to be a part of your awesome, awesome podcast.
Oh my gosh, my pleasure. Yeah. I'm so happy that you said yes, even though you probably could have slept for the last hour, but thank you so much. And I can't wait to put this up so everyone can see your genius.
Great.
Okay. I will talk to you soon.
Okay.
Okay. Bye. Are you still there?
Yes.
That was so good.
Oh,
I'm sorry I made fun of your baby brain.
No, I think it's, you know, when you asked me, I was like, I can't be in a podcast. That sounds horrible.
I thought as soon as I realized you had a baby, I was like, oh, she's going to say no for sure.
And I know Kate Bingaman Burt, she was my studio mate in graduate school.
Oh,
and I know she did this podcast with you. So
yeah.
I texted her and I was like, she asked me to be on this. I can't do it. And she was like, no, you can do it.
Oh my God. That's so
you
hilarious.
Have to do it.
You have to. And you did.
Yeah. You're friendly. And I listened to a whole bunch of podcasts right before I talked to you. So I almost felt like I'd been talking to you already. You know, like yeah. I just, you made it very easy.
Oh, good. Well, yeah. That's the thing is like people don't want to come on because it's like, it's not, but I don't know how to interview people. Like I've never, I don't know. I just like talking to people.
Oh, you're good at it.
Oh, thanks.
Thanks.
My family mocks me that I could talk to anybody forever about anything. And it's always been like, they've always slammed me for it. And I'm like, ha ha. Now it works.
You're making it work.
That's right. Now I'm finally in my element. So, I just like chatting with everybody. And the whole reason I started this was, you know, I loved art history and I always felt like, but all those people are dead and we can't really get the good stories, you know, and the real stories. And so I thought, well, you guys are all alive. So it's super fun to, you know, just be able to ask whatever I want to ask. And when you all go down in the history books, there'll be that much more information for them to put in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yep. You will go in the history books. Like your work is just stunning.
Oh, they got to make some more books. To fit some more ladies in there, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man, now I'm coughing. Okay, it's late there. It's dinner time, isn't it? Okay, go and be with your family. This will be up not this coming, like not this weekend, the weekend after.
Okay, thank you so much.
Oh, of course. Thank you for doing it and give your baby a little squeeze for me.
Oh, I will.
Okay.
I will. Okay.
I'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye. Ah, baby brain. I feel kind of bad for teasing her about it, but it's just funny, and you literally have no control over it. Thank you so much to Kristen for talking to me, even though she's just finally getting settled in her new house. Thanks to Saatchi Art for supporting this episode. Oh, and yes, you know it, I'm going to say it again, that my new book, Your Inner Critic is a Big Jerk, is on shelves, and the audiobook is officially ready to download as well. It's at audible.com. So if you don't have an Audible account, you can use my link, which is audibletrial.com/jealouscurator, to get a free book. It doesn't have to be mine, but it could be, and a free 30-day trial that you can cancel whenever you like. All right, and with that, it is over to you. Thank you so much for listening. There will be more Art for Your Ear next weekend. See you then.